Hello, and welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Harvest Church here in Elk Grove. We're excited to have you join us as we share God's message of hope and love. Each week, we bring you a new message from our pastors and guest speakers designed to inspire, uplift your spirits, and challenge you. Whether you're listening on your commute, at home, or on a walk, we hope these messages will bring you closer to God and help you on your faith journey. So without further ado, let's listen in.
God is faithful. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, at House of Prayer, we do a little bit of participation, so when you have it, you can say, I got it. Amen. All right. We're going to start at verse 17 and we're going to read through verse 31. I love to read the Word of God. It's living and active, and it's going to transform your life as you hear it and soak it in. Amen. Okay. It says this: For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Verse 22, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would anoint me to preach this message, that it would come with power and boldness and fire. Lord, that lives would be transformed as we talk about your word, the wisdom of God and boasting in the Lord. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we would be transformed and leave out of here completely different than we came in. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So the book of 1 Corinthians is awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor Nelson. I appreciate you. So the writer of this letter is Paul. Okay. Paul, he was a Pharisee. If you know anything about him, he was a teacher of the law. He was very learned, and he was versed not only in the Mosaic law, but he was also versed in philosophy, the customs and the cultures of his day as well. And he was so learned, in fact, that God used him to write 2/3 of what we call the New Testament scriptures. There are literal scholars who specialize in the study of just the Pauline letters and epistles. He spoke several languages, if you read through the scriptures. He was a Greek citizen, which was something to boast about. And even Peter, the apostle, says in one of his letters that Paul's writings are very difficult to understand. And so this is a man who has a lot to boast about. Amen. He has a lot of things that he can be proud about, a lot of things that he can say, look at me. I have all this knowledge, all of this wisdom. But it's not him who's boasting. It's not him who's boasting. It's the Corinthian church that's boasting. And he's telling them that they need to get back to the place that they were when they first came to Christ and put their faith, their trust, their hope only in him. See, the Corinthian church was by all external accounts thriving. They excelled in gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They excelled in knowledge and in speech and in wisdom. But the problem was they became very boastful. Turn to your neighbor and say, where's your boast? Turn to your other neighbor, where's your boast? Where's your boast? What are you boasting in? See, they became so boastful, so prideful, in fact, that they were boasting over who they follow. They were saying, I follow Paul. No, I follow Apollos. No, I follow Cephas. No, I follow Jesus. And Paul says, the church is not divided. Jesus is not divided. You need to put your focus and attention on him. They were boasting over how gifted they were. How can you boast about something that didn't originate from you? How can you boast about something that was freely given to you? They were boasting in gifts that were given to them freely by God. And then the crazy thing about it, where this boasting led them to, if you get to chapter 5 in 1 Corinthians, they're now boasting about sexual immorality in the church. There's a man who's sleeping with his father's wife, and they're proud of it. Their boasting led them into deep sin and the acceptance and affirmation of it. And they came from these lowly backgrounds, so they didn't, in the world's eyes, have much to boast about. But once God began blessing them and increasing them and transforming their lives, somehow they started to smell their own stuff and think that it doesn't stink. And they said, you know what? It's all dependent on me. I did it. And so Paul, he's calling them back to the days when their eyes were on Jesus. Have your eyes begun to drift, Harvest Church? Are you still on fire the same way you were when you first found Jesus? Because if you're following him, your fire should increase for him. Are your eyes on him the same way, or are they beginning to look introspectively at yourself? Are you boasting in your own abilities, your own giftings, your own powers? Are you boasting in the Lord? Because here's a true fact. What you boast in is what you trust in. What you boast in is what you trust in. See, in Paul, he calls this boasting human wisdom. See, if you look up the definition of boasting, it says talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. And I would say my definition is it's that which exalts your own efforts, knowledge, wisdom, et cetera, over God and his. See, it doesn't have to even be all braggadocio and in your face. You can be a silent boaster in your heart. See, it's the way that you live out your daily life that shows what you put your trust, your faith, and what you're boasting in. And what you're doing is you're saying that those are the things that can satisfy you. Those are the things that can complete you. Those are the things that can set you free. Those are the things that can do a better job of accomplishing God's will for your life. And so you trust in these things as opposed to him. Where is your boast? See, you're inadvertently ascribing to things something that only has a place in Christ Jesus. So the crazy thing about 1 Corinthians is this. There are scholars that make note that this passage was actually written after Paul did his famous speech on Mars Hill. He's talking to the philosophers. He looks at a statue that says to an unknown God, and he uses all the philosophy of the day to preach the gospel to them. But if you read through the whole chapter, you get to the end, and not many people were saved. And so some scholars say maybe he was a little bit disappointed in all of his wisdom and knowledge, and not much really happened in that place. And so he gets to 1 Corinthians and he says, you know what? I aim to know nothing, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Just the message of the cross, the foolishness of the cross. See, it's shameful back in those days. It looks really good nowadays because we're in the 20th century, but back then it would be like the electric chair. Oh, I'm boasting in the electric chair. My Savior took the electric chair, but far worse, because the cross was the most humiliating thing that the Romans had to do to people they wanted to get rid of. And Paul is saying, that's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the message of the cross. I'm preaching this foolishness that the one who's supposed to save me died and was crucified like a thief on the cross. I'm preaching that message and not the philosophy of the day. I'm putting my faith in him. See, Paul was wise. He was learned. He was eloquent. But he says, my desire is not to be wise and eloquent. It's to preach Christ. Because the kingdom of God, as he says later, is not about talk. It's about power. See, and earthly things don't hold weight in the spiritual realm. Amen. Earthly things do not hold any weight in the spiritual realm. See, the spiritual realities are far more real than the natural realities. And that's why it says we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to get our eyes on the spiritual things if we want to walk in the ways of the Spirit. So I have to let you know this, okay, in case you forgot or maybe you never learned, okay? In the kingdom of God, the only legitimate boast is to boast in the Lord. I'm going to say that again. In the kingdom of God, the only legitimate boast is to boast in the Lord. So let me tell you something. Your money, your status, your social standing, your career, the clubs you belong to, your last name, your relationships, your friends, your career, none of those things can save you, deliver you. None of those things are an ever-present help in times of trouble. None of those things are a foundation you can build upon that lasts. None of it is the solid rock that stands. It's not a Redeemer, and it's sure like the Alpha and the Omega. I'm telling you, there's only one who can save and deliver, and if it's not Jesus, it's not worth boasting about. It's not worth it. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's going to leave you empty. See, I'm going to tell you this. I used to want to be a rapper when I was young. When I was in the sixth grade, I was a part of a rap group. I won't tell you the name of it because it's very, very embarrassing, okay? You may be able to get it out of my wife later on. But listen, I graduated from that, and I wanted to be a battle rapper. Oh, yeah. I wanted to be a battle rapper. Oh, yeah. But then I had to throw in the towel when I became a Christian because it's kind of an oxymoron, a Christian battle rapper. So I would be in a battle, right? I can't do that. They're tearing me down. I'm building them up. I get in a battle with another Christian battle rapper. It's just a compliment fest. Come on, I had to throw in the towel. I can't be a Christian battle rapper. It's an oxymoron. But Dr. Elizabeth used to tell me, because in that culture, it's so steeped in bragging. It's so steeped in how better I am than you are. It's so steeped in pride, right? And Dr. Elizabeth used to say we would be on our, like, 99th trip to the third floor of that building carrying all kinds of stuff. And she would look at me out of nowhere and she would say, Alon, pride will be your downfall. If I ever see pride rising up in you, I'm going to snatch you so quick. She would say it. Am I lying? She would say it. If I ever see it rising up in you, I will snatch you so quick. And I said, okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You win this one. You win the battle and the war, okay? I'm stepping back from pride, and so it had me watching myself. But that's the culture that I was steeped in growing up. And what happened was there's a temptation when I came to Christ and when you come to Christ that when God begins to use you and begins to bless you and begins to lift you higher, that you attribute the workings of God to yourself. So maybe you didn't grow up in a culture like I did. Maybe a battle rapper isn't in your life bingo card or your bucket list, but some use boasting as a mechanism of defense. You've been beat down in life so much that you're saying, you know what, I'm going to lift my own self up. But I'm here to tell somebody in this place today, let Jesus lift your head. He is the one who will support you. He will comfort you. He will help you in your time of need. You don't need to exalt yourself. You need to humble humble yourself. We can't take any of this stuff with us. See, there's a quote I love, and it says this. It says, lay down your small ambitions and come and preach the gospel of Christ. See, all of this other stuff is sinking sand. I can put my faith in my career, and I can get laid off just like so many people did in 2020. I can put my faith in riches, and the stock market crashes just like that. But the only thing that's going to be solid and stand firm throughout the ages is Jesus Christ. He's the solid rock that's been there from all of eternity, and he isn't going anywhere. Gloria a Dios. Aleluya. In el nombre de Jesus. Yeah, I learned a little something. Come on. Amen. So listen, when your boast is in the wrong place, or when you're relying on human wisdom, I want to tell you what happens really quickly, okay? There's 3 points that I have, and it's going to be pretty quick. Number one, I'll tell them to you first. It removes unity in the church. It removes power from the message. And it removes Christ from the equation. It removes unity in the church. It removes power from the message. And it removes Christ from the equation, okay? So 1 Corinthians, in the letters of Paul, you can't just read it like one verse at a time. You have to read the whole thing. He starts an idea, and he doesn't really close it out until several chapters later. And so he spends about 7 chapters just addressing division. Okay, just addressing division. And I want to tell somebody today, it's a little bit tangential, but it's going to make sense. If the God you serve never offends you, you're not serving God, you're serving yourself. Okay, and if the God you serve never offends you, you're not serving God, you're serving yourself. And so that offense to us, right, it's going to come from his word. It's going to come from maybe your accountability partner, your friend. It's going to come from your pastors, your leaders. Somebody's going to say something to you that aligns with God, and it's going to offend your human flesh, and you have to get in line. And I'm telling you today, division in the body, it comes from people who have an offense, and they don't want to get the chip off the shoulder. So what do? They grab somebody else. They go and grab somebody else and say, listen, join me in my mess. Join me in my junk, and let's go do something about this person I'm offended by. They're bringing you into their mess. But I want to tell you today that division is cursed. See, unity, God commands a blessing, but division is cursed. 1 Corinthians 3:17. He says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God would destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. What is he saying? The church, the local church body, is God's temple. Yes, individually, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, but God has designed this thing that we wouldn't be lone wolves. We would do this thing together. You can't be a lone wolf Christian. Amen. The temple of God is the local church, is what he's saying. And the person who rises up to destroy God's temple, God is going to destroy that person. Division is a curse. See, the Corinthians were a little bit crazy, right? We talked about how they were divided over, I follow this one, I follow that one. But not only that, they had lawsuits against each other. How crazy is that? The Bible says we're going to judge angels, and they can't even judge a little quarrel among their own people. So they go in lawsuits, and they're asking secular people to judge the things of God. How crazy is that? You got to be out of your mind to think that somebody in the secular realm who has no idea who God is going to have more knowledge and wisdom, right, to judge something than a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit and walking with him day by day. Craziness. So here's how we get over it, right? If everybody's central focus is on exalting Jesus, if everybody's message that they're preaching is Christ and him crucified, there's no way we're going to be exalting ourselves over one another, because the message of the cross is Jesus coming to the earth as a man and being obedient even to death on the cross. There is no self-exaltation in the cross of Christ. So we have to be unified if we preach that. Amen? Amen. So who's missing out? Who hasn't been saved? Who's supposed to be here in this local body but isn't? What revival should have broken out? What impact should Harvest Church have? that's been quenched by division? What fire got put out? What ashes were thrown on the flames that God wanted to do something and bring something here that division quenched? See, it hinders your ability to fulfill God's mission for this church. Every person has a mission of God. Every local church has a mission of God. And if you're not united on that front, you will not get to it. So here's the number two. It removes the power from the message. See, Paul was wise and eloquent, but he's saying, what is philosophy? What are the teachers of the law? I know all that stuff, but what is it? It's nothing compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because the wisdom of God, the foolishness of God, is greater than the wisdom of any human. Put them back to back, the foolishness of God is always going to win. And the foolishness of God, or what humans would call the foolishness of God, is the cross of Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, not that you can't literally be wise, he had wisdom, but his focus is now taken off of himself, how he looks, how he sounds, and the focus is put solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that he lived a life of suffering when his wisdom could have kept him in a lavish position. See, God is calling you to let go of your desire to be well-liked, well-received, well-spoken of, to preach the message that many would call foolish, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because there's a way that you can speak, there's a message that you can speak that may even have the name of Jesus in it, but it lacks spiritual power. Because if you make it all about yourself, and if you try to exalt your own wisdom, if you try to exalt yourself while you're preaching the message about Jesus, it has no power. There's no power to save. There's no power to deliver. There's no power to heal. There's no power to cast out demons. There is no power in a message that exalts me and not Jesus. And we need the power of God. We need the power of God. We need the power of God. So, Harvest, does your message have power? Does your message have power? Does your message have power? Can someone come to you and be set free? Or are you making it a show just about you? Don't remove the power from the message. Christ is the power of God. The message is Christ crucified. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. See, this is one of those big reasons that people don't evangelize. You ask them, are you going to go out? No. Why? I don't know what to say. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look like a fool. What if that person knows more than me? I don't care. Jesus doesn't care. Paul definitely doesn't care. Just preach Christ and him crucified. See, what we did recently, there's a haunted house right across the street from the church. And we took a group of people, none of us had ever street preached before, including my wife and myself. And we said, you know what, we're going to buy a speaker and a microphone, and we're going to go across the street and we're going to worship and we're going to preach the gospel to the people on the microphone. And then we're going to send out teams 2x2 to the line of people standing in the haunted house. And you know what happened? We saw people who were nervous and scared get on that microphone and rise up, and a boldness came upon them because they were no longer exalting themselves and thinking about how do I look when I'm saying this. They were focused on preaching the gospel of Jesus to a lost and dying generation. And I'm telling you, even some of the people who are dressed up in costumes and working for the haunted house got saved. Because the power is in the message of the cross. Hallelujah. Number three, it removes Christ from the equation. See, the Corinthian church, they had all kinds of stuff, but they forgot where they came from. He says, listen, not many of you were noble. You weren't wise by human standards. There wasn't much to boast about in your everyday life. Can anyone relate? Maybe you don't have much. You didn't come from much. You didn't come from money or status or anything like that. Maybe you're not the smartest tool in the shed. But listen, that's okay, because the Bible says Christ has become for us wisdom from God. I don't need the world's wisdom if I have the wisdom of Jesus and his Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, right? I want to always remember where I came from. I want to know who I was before Jesus and what he did and where he brought me to. I don't want to get to a place where I say I've forgotten what it means when I wasn't saved and what Jesus did for my life and how he transformed me. The Corinthians got the big head. Y'all know what that means? They got the big head. They got prideful and boastful because of something that God had given them. They were arrogant and puffed up. And some of them were even talking crazy to Paul. That's how crazy the Corinthian church was. But you have to stay grounded in him. Amen. Amen. Because listen, this is the one of the last things I'm going to say. Christianity is separate from every other religion. There is no religion like Christianity. You want to know why? Because every other one is based on what you can do. It's based on your boast. It's based on your efforts. It's based on what you can say, what you can do. But Christianity is the only one that is based on the boast of God and God alone. See, the wisdom of the wise, Paul quotes that. He says it's going to be destroyed. And Paul, he is quoting from Isaiah. And what he's doing, he's very intentional to use these passages from Isaiah and from Jeremiah even later on. And what he's saying is this, because all those Isaiah and Jeremiah is just full of prophecies about destruction. And so Paul is taking note of the seriousness of the matter of basing your life in human wisdom. It will be destroyed. It will be destroyed. It cannot stand in front of God. Amen. Because he is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. And so none of the things that would take his glory can stand in his presence. It has to go. It will be swallowed up. It will be destroyed. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship team, you can come on up. Thank you, Jesus. See, Paul quotes at the end, Jeremiah 9:23. And this is what it says. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have understanding to know me, that I am the Lord. That book is a book of judgment. And what he's saying is, on that day when judgment is coming to the people who were disobedient to him, they can't come to him and say, God, I'm so rich, I'm so wise, I'm so powerful, you can't destroy me with everyone else. No, it's only the remnant that was saved, and those were the ones who had the knowledge to know God, who had an understanding of who he is. And I'm telling you, there's another day coming. There's a day of wrath that is coming when Jesus is going to return and judge the world in righteousness. And when you stand before him, you can't boast in yourself. You can't boast in your riches. You can't boast in your connections. You can only boast in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to make it through. On that day, you don't want to be that one who tries to explain their way out, and you don't have to. See, the message of the cross may be foolishness to some, but it's the power of God for salvation to all who believe. See, Jesus Christ, he put on human flesh. He went to the cross and took the punishment, the beating, the bloodiness that you and I deserve, so that we don't have to pay the debt that we owe to God for breaking his commandments. So you don't have to pay the debt. You can be completely free from the power of sin. You can be made right with God and in right standing with him if you would just receive Christ and come to know him. That's all you have to do. It's simple. It's simple. It's so simple. And you may think, well, that's too simple. But that's why it's the foolishness of God and not the wisdom of man. And so today, if you know that on that day when Jesus is coming back, if you know that if you stood before him, your only boast would be in what you can do and not in what he already did on that cross. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to put your boast in him, as the scripture says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. I want you to raise your hand real quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone in this room, you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We're going to pray today anyway. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, just say this. Just say, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of all my sins. I come to you now, and I receive you as Lord and Savior. Fill my life. Change my life. Transform me. I want to follow you all of my days. I believe that you died and rose again for me. In your holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer in-house or online, there's going to be some people around who can give you some materials to follow him. And I'm going to pray out. We're going to close. If you could just stand with me as we pray. Hallelujah. We're going to lay down our boastings in ourselves, our trust in other things. Father, we just thank you right now. I bless your people in the name of Jesus. God, and I pray, Lord God, that you would touch them. God, that you would minister to them, that you would give them hope today. God, that they would lay down their small ambitions to come and preach the gospel of Christ. Lord, that their trust would be solely in you, in your holy name, God. I bless your people this day. I say, have your way in their lives. Be exalted in the mighty and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, Harvest Church.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast. We pray that today's message has touched your heart and encouraged your spirit. We believe that the Word of God has the power to transform our lives and inspire us to be better versions of ourselves. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more inspirational messages. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you, and we look forward to seeing you at one of our weekend services and sharing with you once again next week.